Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a minute, and I am here with
none other than the infamous lovely little Japanese gentleman called Masa.
The Japanese banana, as I made you say in the intro for your new vlog that's coming out.
Really? You always don't post stuff.
What do you mean?
Like, dude, it's been 2 weeks since you posted the drive, the Kyoto videos. Dustin already ended his Japanese trip,
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, I mean, I'm working a freaking job, dude.
Dude, it's same, so hard. So am I, bro.
Yeah, I'm already like 30 hours into that video, so.
I wanted to see the, like,
we're talking about the Kanjozoku video. We need background for people who are listening. Okay, background time. So, 2 weeks ago,
we went on a Kyoto trip.
Me, Masa, for you guys who are following the YouTube channel and my Instagram, you might already know, but a couple of weeks ago, we went to Kansai, which is the western area of Japan.
Yeah, stinky.
Me, Masa, and Dustin Williams, our good friend from the States. So he somehow managed to secure a business visa, and he came to Japan before everyone else can come on vacation.
Yes.
So technically it was a business trip, but really it was the...
It is a business trip.
Yeah, it was a business trip. But it was also like this opportunity we kind of finagled together, mostly you, Masa.
Yeah, I did. I'm the fixer.
Yeah, for work. And you got it so Dustin could come back, and we went on this freaking epic road trip.
Oh, dude, that was so good. I still watch your vlogs, Dustin's vlog.
Are you like rewatching them?
I'm rewatching them.
Yeah,
because it's just so like, it's just full of memories, man.
It is, dude. That was like my favorite trip. It was so good.
It was the best trip that I ever had in my life.
Yeah,
dude, we experienced basically car guys' wet dreams.
We did. I mean, like, honestly, like, what we experienced, what we did, that was straight up, like Tokyo, like, Japan. Like, it was, if we had a TV series.
Dude, right? I put a Japanese JDM experience in 3 days in a nutshell.
Yeah, you squeezed it together.
It was, like, going onsen.
Okay, for the people who haven't watched videos yet.
Going to Kyoto.
Okay.
That was another trip. That is like 6 hour drive.
Right. So from Tokyo to Kyoto.
That was like 7-8 hours drive.
Yeah.
Because we stopped frequently, you know, we took some bathroom, you know, breaks.
Yeah.
We had a fish bath. Fish foot bath.
That was hilarious. We went to a parking area.
In Ashigara.
Yeah.
Ashigara.
Just some random, well, not random, it's on the way to Kyoto.
Yes.
And inside that parking area, it's like a service area with like restaurants and bathrooms and things like that. But this one was special because they have a like
bath,
a foot onsen.
Yeah, we have a foot bath and also a real
real hot spring, hot onsen little area, right?
Yeah. But we decided to take a foot bath, and then sure enough, that foot bath was fucking hilarious.
It was so weird and crazy. So there are I don't think it's just in Japan. But there is this, like...
Dr. Fish.
Dr. Fish. And they... Okay, imagine you go... Okay, let me just explain what the scene looks like. We basically went into this restaurant where you can order, like, food and beverages and whatnot. But on the table that you sit inside, like, you there's a table and then you sit down on the bench. But where you put your feet, there's actually... It's like a little pond.
Yeah.
Right? Like a little... pool of water, of hot water.
Of warm water.
Quite hot. Because it was, you know, from the Sento, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that's a real hot spring.
It's not a real one. But, you know, anyway, it's just a warm water.
It was nice hot water.
Yeah.
But then there were these tiny fish that are supposed to...
Eat your dead skin cells.
It was so weird.
It was so ticklish.
It was kind of like when you fall asleep. Or when you like sit on your foot and your foot falls asleep. And then it tingles because like there's all the blood has drained from it, right? So that's kind of like what it felt like. And it was just a weird situation.
That was a good experience though.
It was a great experience. It was weird as hell. So you guys have to watch it on the vlog if you haven't seen it yet. But it was just the first step in this very amazing trip. And then we made our way to Kyoto, and we stayed at a capsule hotel.
That was a good capsule hotel, by the way. I nailed it.
You did nail it. It was super good.
It was a super good,
awesome. Capsule hotel is basically a...
A bunk room.
Yes, bunk.
It has like a lot of bunks.
Right. Imagine a morgue, and instead of dead bodies, it's just you sleeping in each of those.
More of like, you know, imagine you have a... double stacker bed.
Yes, yeah.
With closed rooms.
Or imagine you're in a submarine, and then...
Basically.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
And then by, you know...
Less macabre.
And then, you know, people sleep in.
But it was actually awesome. You're right. It's like a bunch of bunk beds.
Yeah.
And you basically have your own little, tiny, tiny personal space.
Dude,
and
like a bunk bed. Because we're just too tired, man. I slept so hard.
Yeah. I slept so deep. Because it's like pitch black.
Yeah.
Right? And you're cocooned and it's comfortable.
Dude, I slept like in five seconds.
I slept so deep. I felt like I fell into this deep, deep slumber. And then we awoke and then we continued our adventure.
Yeah. That was a good bed.
We went to Kyoto and we went to a bunch of different temples.
Temples and shrines.
Yeah, temples and shrines. We ate some great food. So we went to Kyomizudera, which is the temple of pure water. And it was hilarious because you did the love rock challenge.
Love rock challenge.
So the love rock challenge is you have to make your way from one rock to other rock
with blindfolded
and with no help. And if you can make it all the way to the other rock and touch it, then it means you're going to be able to find your love.
So fun fact, right?
Fun fact.
I made it to the other end.
Yep.
Without you guys. Well, you guys kind of helped me out in terms of, you know,
like having a peek.
Yeah, someone's coming or not. Yeah. But I made it to the end because I was, you know, like, you know, all these, you know, the streets, well, like the road, the pavement, right?
Right.
It's rocks. And right. Each rock, it has like kind of like a crevices.
Yes.
I kind of felt that's what you use. That's why I kind of walked like awkwardly.
Because I was feeling
that crevices.
I see. Okay.
That's why I could walk straight up.
I see. I was amazed. I mean, I would have fucked it up. I would have walked into a wall or down the other flight of stairs and just like fell and died. But that's the secret. But you were able to make it to the end. So now you're going to find your love.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And
I got a love charm.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Wait. Okay. This is a good opportunity for you to read your vlog intro. So this work of art was crafted first by myself and then with Masa's help we fine-tuned it a little bit. Okay. Here you go, Masa, go for it. Imagine my videos at the beginning of my YouTube videos, I have my super cool intro, right? So super I basically cool. As a joke, I wrote one out for Masa. Mm-hmm. And now I'm talking him into making him use that as the intro for his vlog. Okay, go for it.
Hey, I'm Masa. I'm a Japanese banana who lived in America for a few years, and now I live in Chiba. I spent my days washing cars and doing social media stuff for work, and my days off, I hang out with my best friends, mentors, heroes, Albo Media, and Dustin Williams. And I drive my dad's GTR in adventures around Japan. This vlog is my journey to level up myself and get a girlfriend. Welcome to Masa's JDM life.
Okay, isn't that the best intro ever? Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, watch out for that vlog.
It will come in.
Yeah.
It will come eventually.
So, okay, we'll go back to this topic in just a moment, but just to quickly catch people up on the current status of those videos. The next thing we did was we went to Osaka and then we went to hang out with none other than the
infamous Kanjo Zoku. Bitches.
The Kanjo Zoku are the
civic tribes.
Yeah, the civic tribes who run the streets, literally the Kanjo loop of Osaka, the highway.
They run
so hard. And we had an incredible night hanging out with them and just kind of living a life in their shoes. It was pretty crazy.
I mean, dude, I think, to be honest, I think you had more better experience than the first initial meetup, right?
It was similar. I mean, that was kind of similar to what I did the first time.
Oh, really?
So it was very, very similar to that, actually. But this time we had, like, higher quality footage and better cameras and stuff. So I don't know. I'm hoping we can go back and we can do that again. So that would be super cool.
Yeah. But, dude, I mean, I get to talk with the boss man. Like, yeah. Dude, I can't really say it out loud. But what he been through in the past, like, 20, 30 years was just bizarre.
It's really interesting how their culture, at least the Kanjozoku, at least the most hardcore, you know, the OGs, core, the OGs, yeah. of, and the core members of at least that group, No Good Racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also some of the other groups like Temple, Warp, and there's a couple more.
Temple, Warp, other... Yeah, well, yeah, that's...
A couple more. Yeah, they're like the main ones, or at least the most famous ones. But there is a very direct connection between the like Chimpira and Bosozoku, kind of motorcycle gangs and youth gangs, kind of like, you know, like, how do you describe Chimpira? Kind of like just like youth neighborhood gangs, right? Yeah. And kind of the progression is
the gangs. I mean, to be honest, the gangs that you guys think about in stateside is totally
it's very different. Yeah.
Then what do you guys think about the Japanese, you know, Bosozoku?
Yeah.
It's their own culture and own identity, old ideology. And to be honest, it's the lifestyle that I can never do. But I, at the same time, I kind of respect.
I agree.
In a sense where... And another fun fact. I hang out with No Good Racing guys.
Right.
And I get to talk with the young No Good Racing people, which is basically their same ages, if not younger than I am. And they drive Civics hard.
Yeah.
And those Civics aren't cheap anymore. They used to be like, what? Gomayan car. Like $500, you can buy a Civic. Now they have to pay
like
$20,000. $20,000, right. $30,000.
To be part of that life.
Yeah. And they commit to it. Dude.
Well, let's take a step back.
Okay. I mean, and then most important thing that I experienced is the way they joined the No Good Racing is totally different from the seniors.
That's what I was going to say. Yes.
It is totally different.
It's
totally different.
So it's like it's a new generation.
It is a new generation.
Yeah, which is kind of still coexisting with the older generation. So that's why, I said...
It kind of adopted. Yes. The No Good Racing adopted the current society, like trying to adopt it.
Yeah.
At the same time, trying to have that old school mindset.
Right. So, like I was saying, like, to take a step back. So, originally, the Kanjozoku descended from the Bosozoku, which are those motorcycle...
Gangs.
Those motorcycle tribes. And, you know, to become part of the Bosozoku, like, I think that would start around, like, late middle school. So, around, like, maybe grade 6, grade 7. And then into high school. And that's when people... like the youngest, the people who enter the Bosozoku, like around that age, right? So like usually from my experience from working at a junior high school, I saw some students, they would become drawn to, almost like recruited by like the local Bosozoku. Typically if they were kind of acting out more in school, the kind of student who just maybe for whatever reason they didn't really like authority.
Fit in, right?
Yeah, and they would like act out against the teachers, and then they would stop, maybe like not go to school like frequently, or they would like talk back in school, and then they just like little by little, like more and more. Maybe there's a whole bunch of different factors. I think often it's related to like family life, and maybe they had some sort of like difficult family situation, and so they're acting out. And then oftentimes, sadly, instead of being supportive and trying to help them out, a lot of the teachers would kind of be like, ah, he's become like one of the bad kids, kind of like one of the bad apples. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that kid would then eventually, often, maybe through their senpai or through, I'm not sure exactly what other different venues that they meet, like the local Bosozoku, they kind of become part of that group, right? What's that?
You can put your phone right there.
Oh, okay. It's okay. I like to hold it. It's something to focus on. But in your experience, when you were at school, how did people become Bosozoku?
I don't have
people. Because you went to school.
I mean, I went to private school.
And there were Nobuo Suzuki?
Nobuo Suzuki.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think, yeah, I mean, generally speaking, yeah.
So, that means that... Okay, I suppose you...
I think, in general, like, a lot of people who were there were, I mean... Well, it's a private school, so their parents are decently wealthy.
That's what I was getting at. So,
and then, to be honest, yeah, they I think they have pretty much cared of them. We have a bit of hikikomori or like a, you know, people who don't show up to schools, but they don't do crazy shit.
Yeah. Whereas if you go to a public school, there's a wide range of different income. Yeah, different incomes. People are from different socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. And then if you live in a certain area, like that general area might be relatively...
Low income,
yeah. And then so that kind of environment, I think, is more likely to almost like produce the type of person who might end up joining like these kind of local gangs, like mm-hmm. the Bosozoku. Mm-hmm. And then the Bosozoku themselves, they're essentially... Let's break it down. So boso means like make noise.
Well, to hoon and round.
To hoon, right. To boso. Yeah, to like to hoon, right? Mm-hmm. And zoku, it means tribe. So kind of like a hooning tribe. Mm-hmm. And they do it in...
Hoonigans.
Yeah. Wow, that's perfect.
Hoonigans.
Oh, maybe that's where that comes from. The Bosozoku, they usually drive the motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And they drive the motorcycles. I don't know what type they are, but they're often like Kawasaki. And I don't know what CC they are, but they have a very specific look to them. Like mm-hmm. at least the ones that are really into like the Bosozoku culture. It has mm-hmm. the really high rear seat back. Mm-hmm. And then the large front.
Cowls.
Cowl, yep. So it has a very cool, specific style. Mm-hmm. And the really interesting thing is because that style has... been developed over the past 30 or 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And it's like there's become like a look. There's a Bosozoku style. There's a culture to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I find really fascinating. And then the Bosozoku in Osaka, at least, mm-hmm. that culture then evolved into like a next stage.
Mm-hmm.
Was a lot of people who were just into bikes before they could buy cars mm-hmm. or get their hands on cars. Then they got cars, and then they kind of were still continuing their lifestyle, but then with cars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the Kanjozoku kind of came to being.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you remember how they said the Civic became the primary car of choice mm-hmm. for the Osaka Kanjozoku?
Well, because Osaka, Suzuka Circuit
is nearby.
Nearby, Suzuka Circuit, you know, has a Civic one make race.
Right.
Only Civics.
Yep.
That's why, and then they literally bring out those race cars to streets.
Right.
Physically.
Yep. At least that's how it kind of started. Yeah. And then from there, it became. Such a staple of the Kanjo, and then a lot of the people who are running on the Kanjo, like the highway loop,
mm-hmm.
really felt that particular car really well suited those particular roads because it's an agile car. It could mm-hmm. dash in between other cars, dive in and out, and it was a kind of like the ideal car for what they were doing because it was so cheap at the time. And it had that kind of performance characteristic. It was peppy. It was agile. It was small, compact, and so we could dart between other cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that they were talking about was the connection to Yakuza.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Hmm. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I'll mention it. So,
I mean, you want to talk about that in the public?
Yeah. I mean, because he, like, the boss was talking about it in the video. So, I think we can, you know, talk about it a little bit. But basically, what we were told was that there is a... Let me choose my words carefully here. Because the Kanjozoku kind of descended from the Bosozoku, and then a lot of those tribes, those Bosozoku...
It's kind of like a society where it kind of milked up in a way. You know, like, you know,
you kind of like put in, like, for example, you know, when you do a gold mine, right? Kind of put, you dig out the rocks and sand and dirt, and you kind of shake it and took all this debris out.
Right.
It kind of melted in and make it into, you know, like the Bosozoku guys started you with the bikes. And then, like, all those people who were milked out, they became to that Kanjozoku. And the Kanjozoku people being milked out, and they became, like, you know, more hardcore gangs.
Right.
Then those people who got milked out and still doing that kind of stuff, and then they became, they got, you know, pulled out by, you know, those people.
So there is a progression, I guess, you could say.
Exactly.
There is
there were
like some people who start off as like just like local chimpira, they become maybe
they end up become big.
Yeah. Like they could go into like exactly. They're like there's all like you could just from
it kind joining of local evolution.
Gang, yeah. Like once you go down that path, you could make your way deeper and deeper into like the underground criminal world, basically,
mm-hmm.
and find yourself as like really literally being part of one of the Yakuza societies, like Nantaka Gumi. How do you translate Gumi?
Tribes.
Still tribe?
Kind of.
Oh, interesting. Or
clan?
Clan. I think clan is the better word. And along the way, I mean, like if you're not particularly interested in like bikes or cars or anything, maybe you would just find yourself like there in that world, like in the all the way in the Yakuza mm-hmm. side of things. But like a lot of the people who get into bikes and who get into cars, and then they also find themselves deeper and deeper into that world. So that's how that connection like exists. So there is that connection, which I find very fascinating, because I don't think you have that connection with Hashiriya here in Tokyo.
Never,
right?
Rarely.
Very rarely. In fact,
maybe few.
Yeah, I suppose it could, but I mean, you hardly see it. And there are kind of like also Bosozoku in like Ibaraki
mm-hmm.
and in Chiba, but very few of them become Hashiriya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, or if they do, they kind of it's a different thing. Isn't like the Bosozoku becomes this Kanjozoku. It's like if you were Bosozoku, then you would kind of and you wanted to get into cars. There are such different cultures that you stop.
Mm.
You almost like you have maybe at least you have your Bosozoku friends, and then you have like it's like a separate thing.
Mm.
You get into like cars, and then that could be all kinds of things. Like maybe, for example, you first get a car, and mm-hmm. let's say you want to, for example, go on the Shitoko or Toge. Those are also two different things. And then from there, you might make friends, and then you want to start going on the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into motorsports that way. So it's a very different path, almost,
mm-hmm.
I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of people are very different. But to your original point, you were saying before, how this generation of Kanjozoku is very different from the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that point?
Well, because I talk to young guys, and they join Kanjozoku, especially the Nogu racing, because they thought they were cool.
Right.
They were cool.
Right.
They were not like they started as a hooligans or anything. They were thought they want to join the No Good Racing guys because they thought it was cool.
And they probably discovered it through the internet. Through watching,
through watching
videos.
And like I've been told that they seen the Civics like hooning around like the streets of Osaka.
Yeah.
And then they kind of thought they were cool, so they wanted to join.
Yeah, so that's why they joined.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as much that they were originally part of
like a Bosozoku,
yeah, and then graduated to Kanjozoku. Yeah, it's very different these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think even within that age group,
mm-hmm.
within the 25, like you know, 20s era,
mm-hmm.
this current era, there are still some people who came from that.
Mm.
But then you like you said, there are like it's a mixed group now. There are some other people who kind of became part of the group just because they were interested after they learned about like the Kanjozoku from the internet or mm-hmm. from online and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I do agree, but I'm kind of wondering, aren't your wing stands kind of like bent on the right side than the left side?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the angle.
there you go.
But I think maybe I'm looking at it now, like the stay, maybe.
Yeah, the stay looks kind of like the bit bent on the right side.
Yeah, maybe I need to torque it down more on the bolt. Yeah, maybe. No, I think if you look at the other side, it is the same because they're slanted, right? Because it's an
okay.
Angle.
Anyway,
yeah. Anyways, no. So yeah, we're sitting in Masa's car behind my car, and he's just looking at my wing stand. But from his angle, it looks a bit off. I think it's okay. Anyways, that was a fun topic to talk about. Should we? What else?
Yeah,
we
just move on. Well, controversy is gonna come up, right?
Yes,
eventually.
I'm shooting for this weekend, so it's like. I need to get like things approved first, and then I also want to release it on a weekend, so either this weekend or next weekend, but hopefully this weekend because I'm pretty free, so I can edit.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we wrap this up?
I mean, dude. Well, we went to. Then we went to Kobe.
Right.
The Kobe was another cool thing, because we went Kobe. We ate Kobe beef.
Right.
That was amazing.
It was so good. Oh my God. I still dream about that.
Yeah.
Dude. It was like the best
steak
ever. Oh my God.
I mean, the experience-wise, it was 10 out of 10.
It was 10 out of 10. And for some reason...
And it was not that expensive, right?
It was not expensive. And for some reason, you didn't... You reserved like our time, but you didn't reserve the entire restaurant. But we were the only ones there that day.
Yeah,
for some reason, for such a high class, very highly rated restaurant,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was so vacant.
It was so vacant.
Yeah,
I think we're the only ones there.
Yeah,
we're the only ones there, and we had a dude. Dot went all out, and he went for like a strictly selected sirloin.
Yeah. And his meal was like
$140.
I mean, yeah, if you take into account the exchange rate, it was actually super cheap for him.
It is $100. It is $100. Yeah.
And then the,
we got it like $95.
Yeah. And also,
dude, but for $95,
dude, it was so good. And then you got to think about it as well. There's no tipping in Japan.
No.
So if you were to be in America, it was at least 15% more expensive.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that's like definitely $150 yeah. Right. Level.
And if you're going to go to like a fancy restaurant like that, of course you're going to tip like 30%,
yeah.
20-30%. Yeah. Like, so you don't want to be a cheap ass like for that one time, right? Especially if you go to like a nice teppanyaki place, you get the meal of your life.
Yeah.
Dude, freaking send it. 50% tip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then it's going to be a fucking expensive dinner. But that was such a good experience to go to Kobe and eat the Kobe beef.
Yeah, without, and then most importantly, we had a, like a, you know, like parking structure, you remember?
Yeah.
Like an elevator style.
Oh.
That was a cool one.
That's right. Yeah. I can't wait for you guys to see that in the video, because we went into a car elevator and it took us up to the car parking area. That was the first time I've used one of those things. That was really cool.
That I only know that place.
I don't know why.
In the entire Japan.
Yeah. Why is it?
That is the only place I know that does that. Right now, in my current knowledge,
I was shocked because like I've seen, like
when you park your car, Fast and Furious style,
yes, exactly,
right?
Exactly,
like
exactly.
You know, my life be like ooh ah,
exactly.
Or that one, and then like you know all those like Ginza parking areas when you park your car and like automatically you know moves it to in a pallet and
it goes around like a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But you can't see it.
Yeah.
But dude, we're in it. We're physically inside. We went on an elevator.
Yeah, it's an elevator for your car to go up to the parking lot.
To the structure, right?
Yeah. And then you go and park, like normally. And then to leave, you go back into the elevator and brings it back down. Sure. That was so cool. That was like one of my favorite parts.
That is another Japan part,
that was a Japan part.
That is a... And the fucking toge, though.
Oh, then we did toge after?
Yeah. You remember?
Yeah.
You kind of forgot it, right?
The night toge? No, I did. Yeah. I don't forget it. It was super great.
Like, but your memories were like, kind of put it on top of the Myogi days.
Yes.
That was better, but you know, as a toge style, that was a good toge, right?
It was. And then we said Arima Onsen. Super, super good onsen.
And unfortunately, I can't get to show you guys the Maya-san, like pretty, because it rained like 5 minutes after we went to the top.
Yeah.
I wish I could show you guys more.
Yeah.
Because that scenery was the
best scenery I've experienced in Japan so far. There's one of them, one more.
It really was. And then it started raining like crazy.
It was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. We got soaked.
I was soaked head to toe. Like, my underwear was soaked. My underwear and my socks were soaked.
Yeah.
But then once you finally got back to the onsen.
Oh, the hotel.
And then go into the onsen.
That was so good.
And I slept so well. And then after that, the next day we went to Osaka.
And we went to shop visits, right? Well, I think we went shopping.
So that was kind of like the end of our trip. We went back.
And we went to see the Jays Racing and the Kansai Service too.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally forgot to mention that part. We went to Jays Racing, which was awesome.
You get to get the wing from the Jays Racing. So kind of like a Jays Racing.
Yeah, I know. That was super cool. Commemorate. Actually, I put the sticker on my wing. It was so dumb. I was spending an hour trying to figure out where to put the sticker on my car until I'm like, why don't I put it on the wing itself? That's the only Jays Racing part on the car.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the following week we went to Gunma.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably another one of my favorite parts because that was such an epic drive.
Dude, I can't tell which one is the better because both are the good in their own ways.
Which one? Which weekends?
Both weekends are the best weekends. Yeah. That 2 weeks when I hang out with Dustin, that was the most best week 2 weeks that I ever enjoyed in my life. To be honest, like I get to experience a lot of stuff that normal people will never get there in their lives.
Right.
Like, I went to the Bridgestone Proving Ground, you know?
Right.
The test course.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to see a lot of cool stuff.
I got to experience a lot of cool stuff with Dustin. Yeah. Like, I can't thank him enough for that. And I can't thank enough to Yasuka to bring him and me into freaking Top Rank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's another story for me, myself. You guys have to watch my Jap Master vlogs. Link in the description below. I think, you know, almost
okay, yeah, me and perfect, all those perfect shit. Perfect. So that's like, let's wrap this up because it's like 1 in the morning or 12 in the morning.
Yes.
I got to head back. We're just doing this podcast in Akihabara in Masa's car. Okay, so by the way, I decided I'm going to bring the podcast back. I'm going to make it regular and it's going to be kind of basically it's for the patrons, but I'm...
Why are you making it for
Patreon? No. What I'm saying is, like, it's going to be for everybody, but it's kind of like, thanks to the patrons, that's why I'm going to focus on this more. So,
yeah, yes. I think we, like, to be honest, we have to be so much appreciated that we could do this kind of stuff when we have this kind of opportunities, right?
100%.
I mean, we kind of think, like, you know, people are saying, like, oh, you can do this kind of stuff.
Dude, which is we true. Have, like, the best job ever. I mean, for me, I have my day job, right? But I also...
Yeah, such a flexible day job.
I do. But to be able to do, like, this YouTube stuff and, like, to do...
Get this kind of opportunities, right?
It's kind of opportunities. And then also to be in a position where I could leave my day job and just focus. It's almost there. But if I could... Yeah,
have a good mix of both.
I've got a good mix of both, but I want to take it to the next level. And I'll talk about it in a sec. But I do want to take it to the next level. And really, it is thanks to the patrons on the Patreon. And people who buy merch. They're the ones really who... Of course, like YouTube, I can make it work. But it's so up and down. And it depends on the type of video that I make. You know what I mean?
And your current successful videos are usually car girl videos.
Right. And I don't want to make just those videos, right? Like, they're the crowd pleasers. Of course, you know. It's so...
Dude,
like,
what about the video with Maya Rido, man? That will be another big video.
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, like, you know...
Dude, she's such a sweetheart.
She's so cool, yeah. And do you know she lives down the street from me? It's so weird. She lives, like, straight down the street from me.
Really?
Yeah.
That is
so ridiculous.
That's such a random coincidence. Like,
I drive down the street for 3 minutes, I'm at her place.
Oh, fuck.
It's so weird. Yeah.
You're neighbors.
We're basically neighbors down the street. Like, I thought I lived close to, like, you know, like, I used to live very close to
Samut.
I still live very close to Samut, but I also live very, very close to Japonic. About the same distance, actually. And now I live down the street from Maya. So we're talking about Maya Orido, who is Max Orido's daughter. Famous Max Orido.
The infamous Max Orido.
The infamous Max Orido. And his daughter Maya is, she graduated university, and so she's actually like your age, right? She's like
23? She's 22.
22.
She's two years younger than me. Oh, actually, 3 years younger than me, to be exact.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's cool. Born in 2000. Yeah. She's, dude, she's same age as my 34 GTR.
Wow, look at that.
That is like
year 2000.
Yeah, fucking yeah, that's mental. True. That is mental. Yeah.
Well, she's, I mean, you know, she's cool. She's just, she's out of university.
She's
now,
cool. She's just such a sweet, yeah, sweet girl.
She's so sweet. She's, and she speaks English. So she's kind of like you.
Dude, she speaks so fluent English. I mm-hmm. never, I, her, dude, her English is like straight up, like her pronunciation is like almost like,
dude, to same, be honest, it's better. Same as you. Yeah. No, dude, listen, you're a banana. As you said in your. Okay, can you explain about what is a banana?
Banana is, this is gonna super racist. This is gonna be a racist thing.
Uh-huh.
When it's a yellowish guy on a yellow guy on the outside, but the inside mentality is super Caucasian.
Yeah. Super yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yellow on the outside, white on the inside. Dude, I'm pretty sure in a previous life you were American. Yeah. You were just reborn into a Japanese body.
Yeah, can tell.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Maya's cool. We're gonna do some collabs and stuff.
And she wants to do this kind of stuff, dude.
Dude,
like she's like, oh yeah, let's take a video. Yeah, yeah tell me when you guys are free or something
yeah.
like that.
Like, but so what I like it. Is like, yeah, I mean, like, we hung out, you know, and it's not like I don't get the, like I feel like we can just hang out like as like friends, and also it's like it just so happens she's also really into cars, so we can like. Make cool videos about cars, so it's like
most importantly, she doesn't know much about cars, so we could teach her about cars.
Well, her dad is Max Rito, but she's also like she's a racer, man.
I mean, dude, she wants to learn about cars. Well, that's the best part of car girls.
That's true, but I mean, when you're comparing to like yourself, who is like the JDM master, like you know everything about cars. Like, I can point to like a random car, as long as it's not in a truck or something, you'll know everything about that car. Pretty much. Yeah. Oh yeah. So okay, when you say it on the podcast, when are you going to seriously focus on your channel? Because I've been saying it, Dustin's been saying it, everybody around you's been saying it, all the comments have been saying it. They're like, when's Masa gonna make his channel? When's he gonna do it seriously?
Well, this year.
What does that mean? Why don't you define it? It's June now.
It's June now, all right? Oh, fuck, it's already June. Oh
yeah, half the year's over, bro.
Next week?
Like I was saying, you need to give yourself an incentive, right? So you need like a reward. You need a punishment. You need a consequence.
If I did to produce a video per week.
Okay, one per week.
Yeah.
Shake on it.
And then one per week. If I didn't get a video in 1 week,
yep.
Then I will pay Abo a coffee.
One coffee? Dinner.
Coffee?
Dinner.
I don't have money, you doofus. I'm not like a rich like you, motherfucker.
One dinner.
Coffee.
Dude, it can be like a fucking cheap ass dinner. Like,
no,
like,
I'll get you a big size hashiya coffee. That's like 300 yen.
No, come on. The steak has to be. Oh, I got it, bro. I got it.
What?
The steaks are a steak.
What do you mean steak?
Steaks are a steak. I'm saying if you don't put out a video, you gotta treat me to Ikinari steak.
What the fuck? No.
There you go.
No.
Those are the steaks.
No.
Those are the steaks.
No, never.
Why not?
I will never do that. Because I don't have fucking money.
Well, that's why you work. That's why you just make the video.
I don't have enough money. What are
you? So, see, look at you. You're already making you're making the excuse for yourself.
I don't have money.
You don't have to pay it. That's what I'm saying. You just have to make the video and then you don't have to do it. See, if you make the stake really low, like a coffee, you're like, yeah, fuck, I can buy a coffee, whatever, it's fine. You're not going to care. But if you make the stakes high, then you will do it. And it's not that high. It's a steak. Like Sengo Hyakun, you fucking cheap ass.
No.
$15.
It's 3,000 yen.
No, man. We'll go like during lunch to Ikinari steak. And it's like Sengo Hyakun, like $15. Shake on it. Come on. Shake on it.
Okay, what about Konbini Bento?
No. Ikinari steak. Okay? Yeah, okay. So the steaks are steaks.
Okay.
Okay. So you're gonna put out a video a week, right?
A week.
Okay. What day of the week?
Monday?
I personally think it should be Saturday.
Well, I could do I could just launch a video on a Monday,
or,
set it up to Saturday.
Like Sundays, I think from looking at my analytics, weekends seem to be better. It makes sense because people are like chilling at home, right? Mm-hmm. And they're more likely to be at home and they can see your video. So Saturday morning is pretty good. So Saturday morning would be
Saturday morning would be Sunday night.
No, actually Saturday morning would be in I think most of my views come from West Coast, like California area. Mm-hmm. So I usually try to schedule my videos for like noon or a little bit earlier on the weekends. Mm-hmm. On Saturday for the state, so that ends up being like Sunday at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm.
Yeah, that's like the best time.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that?
That would be good.
Okay, so you got it. You gonna do it one a week
starting one from week? Next week.
Okay,
because I don't have anything filmed this week. I need to film beforehand. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, you should do it this weekend, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying like the video, you have to release it on this Sunday morning. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay. Jose.
You, dude, listen, you shook on it. And if you're not going to release it, you owe me a canary steak on Sunday.
Okay.
Every Sunday.
Okay. That means we're going to meet on every Sunday, huh? No matter you don't like it or not.
Sure. All right.
All right.
Fucking hell. Or, yeah. Okay. So, of course, Ignary Steak. And then, if you do 2 weeks in a row, you don't release a video.
What?
Well, it makes sense, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like 2 weeks in a row, that becomes like double. So, we go to Yakiniku King.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yakiniku King.
Yeah. Because like we always spend about Sanzen, right? About $30.
Yeah.
So if you miss 2 weeks, like okay, here, let me make it easy for you. So you can miss the day,
mm-hmm.
but you can like still post it like the next day or something.
Yeah.
Up until like the next week.
Uh-huh.
So you technically have like one extra week just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
But then if you miss both of those, then you're fucked, and you gotta you gotta pay for my Korean barbecue yakiniku.
All right. Yeah, we'll
go. Dude, you said it in the video.
In the podcast.
You said it in the podcast, and you shook on it.
Well, you guys didn't see it, so I could say like no count.
No,
bitch.
No,
bitch.
It's happening. See, I don't even want the yakiniku.
You want me to see the videos.
I'm just like, what's going to happen is we're going to go to yakiniku. I'm going to be shaking my head.
Uh-huh.
Be like, Masa, you could have been enjoying this for free. Not for free, but like without paying for me.
Garbage.
Yeah. Dude, there's so many people who want to see you in your videos. What was that?
What was that, bitch?
Whoa.
Oof, just a random... like a drunken guy screaming at somebody.
Yeah, maybe it was that dude.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's our cue
to end this
podcast. Out. Yeah. Oh, that's perfect timing. It's just about 45 minutes. Okay. Any last thoughts?
Wanna see my videos? Link in my description below. Go watch my videos.
Yeah, there's gonna be a link in the description box to Masa's channel. You guys, go ahead and subscribe to it.
Yeah, I my motivation is subscriber amount. So if I can reach 10,000 Ks in
listen, you little
July,
bitch, you're gonna
July,
work. You're
gonna July, in July 25th, no. My birthday. That will be my best gift for me because that's my birthday, bitches. I'm gonna be turning 25, and my birthday gift will be 10,000 subs.
Woohoo!
And I
you
have
shook
a,
on it. Listen, you shook on it.
Well,
okay, you're gonna release those videos. Like, whether or not you get to 10,000 subs, that's entirely gonna depend. Here's the thing. Okay, listen.
What?
Listen,
what,
bro? Listen, when I released that video, the one we've been talking about for a long time, the one I already shot, mm-hmm. it's already like 30% edited.
What? Still 30%?
Dude, I could probably finish it, like, but it's gonna be shitty if I don't give that polish. So we want that polish, right? Okay, okay, let me make you a promise, Masa. Let me make you a promise.
Dude, when are you gonna release
it? Listen, I was gonna make you the goddamn promise. I'm gonna release it before your birthday.
Ah!
Okay?
That would be my birthday gift, huh?
Yes. Be your birthday gift. And
I could do a follow-up video for that.
Yeah. And that video will probably get you to 10,000 subscribers. I'm pretty sure it will. But here's the thing. People will, like, obviously a million people will watch. Listen here, dude, listen to this. What is 1%
of 1 million? 1%
of 1 million? Do the math.
10,000.
Exactly, 10,000. So if 1% of the people who watch the video, which I think is going to get a million views, I'm so confident it's going to get a million views.
And it ends up being like 5K.
Because I'm also saying it. Listen, 100%, like, it will 100% be, we were there, we filmed the whole thing, it was so good. So it's going to be a million view video, I'm sure about this.
Uh-huh.
If 1% subscribes to you, that's your 10,000 right there. Mm. Okay. But I don't think they're going to subscribe if they go to your channel to see there's nothing there.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
True.
So, your birthday is how many weeks from now?
I guess like 6 weeks.
6 weeks, right? Basically, right? Yeah, because you got about like
six
a month.
6 videos per day, right? 6 videos per week.
One per week.
Well, I mean like 1 per week, so 6 videos.
Yeah. So, you just make 6 videos so that when people go to your channel, they'll be like, oh, okay, this guy's actually making videos.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And then they will subscribe. Otherwise, so many people from those million, like, okay, I don't think only 1% will click into your channel. I think it's going to be like
0.5%.
Maybe even 10%. Like 1 out of 10 people who watch the video, like 100,000 people will go to your channel.
No way.
Why not? You're the main character in that video. It's literally about you.
It is.
It is. Right? And then they're going to see your wacky self, and they're going to go into the video, and then they're going to be like, okay, where's this, I want to see more of this dude. And they're going to see like no videos. I'm like, all right, that was lame. But if they go to your channel and they see like a bunch of like just 6 videos, you're going to be like, okay, this guy's been posting every week. And yeah, he's still continuing, so I'll subscribe. That's going to get you to your 10,000 subs. That's my gift to you, 10,000 subscribers. So that's, remember earlier we were talking about the reward and the punishment?
Mm-hmm.
Your reward is 10,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Your punishment,
which is not promised.
I'm gonna do my best. Like, listen, your reward, I'm gonna finish that video by your birthday. Okay, I promised. You can hold me to that. I promised. Okay, and you made a promise that if you don't release a video every week, you're gonna treat me to Ikinari steak. There's a steak chain, super cheap, called Ikinari Steak, and you're going to take me to a steak place,
mm-hmm.
which is great for, good for my diet. Anyways, and then if you miss 2 weeks in a row, mm-hmm. we're going to go to Yakiniku King,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to pay for my Yakiniku King.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, let's end this podcast here.
Well, I hope... Dude, this... To be honest, in a nutshell of this 2 weeks, just after that, like before 2 weeks is just like, you know, normal ordinary me, but like after 2 weeks of a lot of people, dude, I got like 60 fucking DMs in my freaking Instagram.
Really?
60 for the past 2 weeks.
What were they saying?
I love Masa. You're awesome. I watched your Alvo and Dustin's video. You guys, you are amazing. All compliments. Dude, I'm kind of like, you know, nerd right now. I watch every fucking comment. But
dude, how many do you need to see?
I only saw one negative comment.
Yeah.
Which is say, Masa is annoying as fuck.
Yeah, dude. I get and then, so
and then, and then, and then I do agree. It look, I if I were in that position, I look like a annoying
person. First of all,
yeah,
he's right. I mean, you are annoying as fuck. Let's be real.
I am annoying.
Super annoying. The most annoying person I know. Okay? Super annoying.
I'm a donkey. I'm a donkey from Shrek, right? Right? Exactly.
Yeah, then I'm Shrek.
You're a Shrek.
I'm a Shrek.
I'm a donkey.
Pretty much. But.
Yeah.
As you saw yourself in all the comments, so many people love you, man. And like we were talking before, we were already talking for like hours before.
Dude,
we
I got a, you know, the best, like, there's a long comment saying that.
Okay.
And Dustin's, I don't know which video was it, but there's this one comment saying, like, I saw this guy on Dustin's second trip. I thought he was annoying. But when I saw this guy again in your videos, this guy was amazing, has a knowledge, and has a full energy. Like, I really like him now.
Yeah.
That comment made me, like, almost, like, flop myself, because...
Flop yourself?
I mean, like...
You flopped yourself?
I mean, like, not, you know? But I kind of, like... flabbergasted, you know? It's like, right. I never thought that I would get that kind of comment. I thought it would be, you know, I was that guy with the Nismo jacket initially, right?
You still are.
I was kind of still that guy with the Nismo jacket. But now people know my name. I was just a guy with the Nismo jacket.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks to me and Dustin's fame.
Yeah. Thanks to a combined million subscribers, you know?
I'm only half joking. Because, I mean, if you were like a... If you were in the videos and nobody liked it, then they would say it in the comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like as you said, you had so many DMs, you got so many comments and stuff. So like, you already know that people want to see you on like your channel on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing stopping you. There's only yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's only yours. You have every opportunity that everyone who wishes they could start like a JDM YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
You have all that opportunity. You have all of it. You work in the industry. You already have the knowledge. You already have a cool car. You already live in a place. You live in Japan. You speak Japanese. You're friends with like me and Dustin, like all these other people. You know, like all these pro racers that we just hang all the time. You have literally everything at your disposal. There's you have the personality for it. People already like you. I could go on and on and on. There's nothing stopping you except yourself.
Everything is all set. Right?
Everything's all set. In fact, I'm already laying out the plan to get to 10,000 subscribers, which will get me to 500,000.
Half a million, bitch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. Thank you for
400K.
400K.
This is a 400K and 100K for Insta followers.
Right. Insta followers. So if you add those together, it's 500K. No, math doesn't work for that.
But still, combined 500K, that is like a lot. Nobody can do that.
Dude, it's wild. It's wild.
Well, I think your Instagram follower just jumped up 30K because of you posting the same kind of, you know, highway, you know, photos on their fucking Instagram. You just kind of like, you know, spamming an entire, like, for the past 3 weeks, you're spamming the whole entire backshot of like a car with the cool scenery at the background.
I mean,
basically,
I mean, you're not wrong.
Where's your wrong originality, bro?
Well, no, I was original the first time, and then the other seven times I posted the same type of picture.
Yeah, it's just boring now. It's kind of like when you did with the car girl videos. You follow up with it, and
you gotta milk it. Okay,
you're
making
it.
What am I supposed to do? Be like, oh yeah, that's really successful. Let me not do that.
Yeah, let me not.
Let me stop doing that.
Yeah, stop doing it.
That was extremely successful. Yeah, let me stop that. Of course I'm going to try to do more of what is successful and try other strategies.
It is, but to be honest, you get like 15K per photo, which is bizarre.
I don't know. Yeah, it's...
You only got like 5K beforehand.
What are you like, my social media stalker?
I always watch
like, this video has 714 comments. Usually you get between 507 and 534. But
I analyze your shit.
Listen, I would hire you, but I would I would literally hire you to be my guy, my social media guy, everything, my filmer, everything. But I don't want to, because I want you to become successful yourself.
Woo!
All right, let me end it there.
Thank you guys for listening to this random podcast that we shoot with Alvo. I have a word tomorrow. It's already like...
It is like... I got
word tomorrow like too. It is like 1:40.
Yeah.
It's like 1 o'clock already.
It is. But this was super fun. Like, I don't know why I haven't done a podcast like this in a while. It's just super fun.
Let's just...
Every week.
Wait. Before we leave, let's hint something. There's a one big thing coming up.
All right.
We can't tell what it is or what's coming.
Oh, man. Right. That's what we... That's the reason we met up today.
There's a one big... Super big... thing. And it's not like going to flop. It is actually happening.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of flabbergasted right now.
I'm so flabbergasted.
Because it is happening.
Yeah. It's crazy.
This might be a most... 2022... Dude, 2022 is just so...
It is.
Such a big movement for my life, you know? For the past 6 months, I met Shota POV. I met Maya Rito. I met Moe. I met... Dude, I met a lot of people.
Right.
For past 6 months, they have so much characters in their lives.
Yeah.
Dude, Shota, man.
Shota's awesome.
He is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love him.
I'm doing my best to stay ahead of him and subscribers. But he's like a monster, dude. Like 300K in like 6 months. Like, what is going on?
Dude, he has a lot of connections with fucking people in the West Coast.
He's awesome.
I mean, he's just such a cool guy, and he has the knowledge.
Yeah. When he comes back, I'm super excited for him to come back.
Yeah. And if Shota, if you're listening, congrats. You graduated from UC.
Congratulations.
UC San Diego. That's a very good college to graduate. And yeah, you're gonna come back to Japan and you gotta do some business in here too. You know, work your life, bro. You make more money than I do, which is kind of, you know, jealous.
This is why you have to, like I was telling you, man, like you moved from Osaka back to Tokyo, right? And you actually possibly, if you stayed in the original job, maybe you would have like a more traditional corporate path trajectory, mm-hmm. right? And who knows, maybe like make more money because I don't know, maybe that particular company is like very big, right? Mm. But now you made the choice to come back to Tokyo. Mm. And I think the choice was correct because you brought yourself back into the center of opportunity, which you need to capitalize on by building your YouTube channel and building your brand, doing your podcast. Listen, I'm doing this podcast. Why don't you have a podcast? Why don't you just have a podcast? Why don't you just like release a weekly podcast? We can be each other's guests.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do it like this. I have another idea. We can do like a weekly podcast, half an hour on my side, half an hour on your side.
Mm.
So we just continue the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, if you want to listen to the first half of this, why don't you listen to my podcast? You want to listen to the other half, listen to Masa's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have all this opportunity, like I've already mentioned before, to make all these like videos and stuff now that you're back in Tokyo. So anyway, now I'm just repeating myself.
This is gonna be in a nutshell. Stay tuned, guys, because this year is gonna be freaking
packed.
It's gonna be sick.
All right, guys, we're gonna end this video.
YouTuber, bitch.
And this podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Yeah, and then, okay, I want to see the response of this podcast. So, just if we're gonna post something on Instagram, both of our Instagram,
right?
If you guys listen to this, comment down below you listen to the podcast on those Instagram posts.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Hashtag...
Okay,
The secret word. What is the secret word they have to say?
Hashtag made it to the end.
All right, there you go.
Hashtag made it to the end.
There you go. Okay, guys. We're going to end this podcast. I'm going to... like, this will still be free for everybody to listen to. But honestly, thank you guys to the patrons. You guys are going to make this possible because I'm going to focus it for you guys. And if you're not a patron yet... consider supporting my Patreon and you will
Legends VIP
enable
membership.
This kind of thing to happen and do even more cool stuff, which we're doing. The way I see it is, you know, Avatar the movie, we're kind of like their avatars, you know. It's like,
what do you mean, which avatar? The blue alien?
The blue aliens.
Not the airbender.
Right. So for the folks who they don't have the ability to come to Japan and experience this, maybe for whatever, like maybe they have a family, whatever, let us be your eyes and ears to experience, so you can experience car culture through our eyes. Mm. So let me end this. Have a good night. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.